This is The Record on KUOW Seattle. With Marcy Silman, I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle's expected a lot of growth in the next 20 years. City planners say that Seattle's going to add 120,000 new residents over that time. That's about as much growth as we've had in the past 20 years. Here's another way to put it. About 120 new residents, 110 new jobs, and 65 new homes every single week for the next two decades. So the question is, where are all these people, jobs, and houses going to go in Seattle? That's the big question this year, as Seattle city planners are planning to spend the whole year drafting up a plan for growth. It's called a comprehensive plan, and they're calling it Seattle 2035. Right now, they're asking for public input on three of these planning alternatives. Here to help us understand the options is Tom Hager. He's the city's comprehensive plan manager. Tom, welcome to The Record.
Thanks for having me.
So you worked on the first comprehensive plan 20 years ago. Explain how the city looks now compared to what you were predicting 20 years ago on what your plan would make it look like.
So the city has added just about the same number of housing units over the last 20 years as the maximum we expected. We've added almost 60,000 housing units in that 20-year period, and that's about what we expected. In terms of jobs, we've only gotten about a third of the number that we expected. But the growth has gone mostly to places where the city's plan directed it to go. So it's gone to the urban centers. There are six of those in the city, and those are the densest places where the city allows the tallest buildings. So you see that in downtown, Capitol Hill, right here in the U District. South Lake Union has grown. And we've also gotten a lot of growth in the next tier of places in the city, places like Ballard and Lake City, and even some of the smaller locations like Othello and Columbia City.
So 20 years ago, you were making a prediction on how you'd like to channel growth. And here 20 years later, what are the most dramatic differences from what was forecast and what we see? For example, I've read somewhere that in my neighborhood of Ballard has accommodated three times the growth that was originally planned for. Do you see some anomalies there where you'd planned for this and that happened?
That's absolutely true about Ballard. The forecast or the planning estimates that we have for Ballard and for even Belltown were on the low side of what actually occurred. But there are other places in the city where our estimates were much higher than expected, places like Beacon Hill and Rainier Beach, where we expected more growth.
And less growth took place there, even though you were planning for it.
That's right. And I think that's just a comment on our inability to make solid, accurate planning estimates that far in the future for small geographic areas.
Well, for the next week or so, you're going to be asking for input on three different ideas on how to approach growth in the next 20 years, and I want to briefly have you explain them. There's the urban center focus, the urban village focus, and the transit focus. Let's go through them one at a time. What's the urban center focus?
So the urban center focus would direct most of the city's growth to those six urban centers that the city designated in the current comprehensive plan. And those six places are downtown, Capitol Hill, South Lake Union, Uptown, the U District, and Northgate. And this would be consistent with the regional plan, because the regional plan talks about directing a lot of growth to the regionally designated centers. So these six would qualify for that. And I think what we'd see if the development occurred mostly in those places is that most jobs and most housing would be in taller buildings, six stories and taller. And probably see a lot of apartments being built for housing. So the housing type would be somewhat different than we'd see in the other alternatives.
So the second option you're looking at for people to comment on is called the urban village focus. How is that different from the urban center focus?
So the urban villages are smaller places than the urban centers. There are 24 of them around the city, places like Wallingford, Lake City, Columbia City, West Seattle Junction. And they were designated in the original plan. And in this case, we'd expect more growth to go in those places, and that would help strengthen those business districts that have been growing so well for most of the part in those places over the last 20 years. And the housing types we'd see would generally be lower scale, six stories and shorter, and may see even some duplexes or townhouse development there. And the jobs that would occur there would tend to be in smaller office buildings or in services.
And then the third option that you're looking at, the comprehensive plan, Seattle 2035, how to focus growth over the coming years, is called the transit focus. What would that be?
So in that alternative, the idea would be to take advantage of the very large regional investment that the region has made in light rail service. We currently have 10 stops in the city on light rail, and this would focus growth in those places to make it possible for more people to take advantage of using light rail to get to work or to even perform their daily jobs. And this would probably result in development types that are similar to the ones in the urban village focus, so tend to be lower scale buildings, but we just see more growth in those places. In this alternative, also, the city would talk about the possibility of adding two new urban villages, creating a new urban village at 130th Street and I-5, which is a possible light rail station, not yet chosen, and also at the I-90 station, which has been designated. And in those places, to designate the possibility for additional growth around the light rail stations.
We're talking about how Seattle is going to look over the next 25 years, and the city has a certain degree of control in its planning. It's called a comprehensive plan, and between now and Monday, you've got a chance to comment on it. We're talking about the three options that people are looking at. Now, are these mutually exclusive? Is it either going to be urban center or urban villages or transit?
These could be combined. So none of these is a pure alternative that's likely to be the one ultimately adopted by the city. It could be a blend of these three.
Now, people can go look at the website and see some more details on this, but what kind of comments are you trying to get from folks about these three alternatives?
So right now we're beginning work on an environmental impact statement that'll help look at the different effects that these three different alternatives could have. And what we've been asking people for is whether they have thoughts about maybe a different alternative, or maybe somewhat recharacterizing one of these alternatives to shift a little bit more growth in one of these alternatives. And the other thing we're asking folks is to provide comments on what topics they think our environmental impact statement should address.
It's easy to talk about in the abstract, but where's the friction going to be, you think?
What we hear a lot about is housing affordability and transit. So people seem to be becoming more comfortable in the city with having density, but a big concern around density is that there's often not enough transit serving those places where most density is occurring.
A really important discussion taking place in the city of Seattle. Tom Hauger is the Comprehensive Plan Manager. Thank you so much for helping us get this started. We can share your thoughts about these options at the website 2035.seattle.gov, or there are community meetings. In fact, there's one this evening at the Miller Community Center. And tomorrow at the Rainier Community Center, you can hear Tom and others explain more about what comprehensive planning means and what it'll mean for you. You're listening to The Record on KUOW Seattle.